Why don't you just give yourself up?
What'd you say?
Well, you're not going to kill an entire family. It's over. I mean, you're not the type. You're a thief, not a killer. That's obvious.
I hate guys like you. You know? With your Jeep Grand Cherokees and your Nicaraguan maids and your Ping Zing golf clubs. Every goddamn thing in the world handed to you. I mean, what fucking purpose do you people serve?
You're a criminal. What possible purpose could you serve?
Fuck you, Lloyd. I work for a living, okay? I have a skill. I'm in the game, pal. What do you do except take up fucking space?
If you're so skilled, what are you doing stuck here?
Let me tell you something. I can break into any house, anywhere, anytime, take whatever I want, in and out, 10 minutes, no prints, no evidence, nothing. If what's-his-name hadn't installed that fucking Roadrunner booby trap, I'd be in Jamaica by now.
I'm impressed.
No, you people don't get impressed, do you? Huh? Life just bores the shit out of you people. Well, I'm sorry. We don't all have rich mummies and daddies we can live off of or open restaurants when we get bored playing tennis.
You told him about the restaurant?
Yeah. I heard you couldn't cut it working for a living, Mr. Brooks Brothers, so you just...
Shut up! You know, you and my wife have a lot in common. You both think you have some right to life working out the way you want it to, and if it doesn't, you get to act any way you want. Problem with that is someone still has to be responsible. I'd love to run around taking classes and playing with my inner selfness. I'd love the freedom to be a pissed-off criminal without any responsibility, except I don't have the time. But you don't see me with a gun. You don't see me sleeping with someone else. You think my life turned out the way I wanted because I live in this house. You think every time I look in the mirror, I shout, gee, I'm glad I'm me, and not some 19-year-old billionaire rock star with the body of an athlete and a 24-hour erection? No, I don't. So just excuse the shit out of me.
Hi, and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Iron Man.
I am Iron Man.
Do I get to be Iron Man? I hate all of you.
Yep.
I think Busta Rhymes did a song to
did
that.
Maybe he may have. Track. Yes, he did. I think he did.
On one of those albums. Extinction Level Event, one of them.
Yeah, definitely. I remember it. Yeah. I remember it well. I think I have that on vinyl downstairs.
I miss Busta Rhymes.
No, you don't.
No, I really do. Yeah, I like Busta a lot. Yeah. He was good for a long time.
But you know what you do miss?
What?
Call me now for your free tarot card reading.
Yep. You remember that?
Yo, Miss Cleo. God, I love Miss Cleo.
But then Busta Rhymes.
Busta Rhymes version.
Yeah. What just happened here?
Like I
was queuing up the podcast part of the podcast, and I think Douglas just
shits.
Overtook that.
I'm not gonna play no Busta Rhymes at that start. Anyway, the Psycho Axe murder.
We don't wanna hear that shit. We want Busta Rhymes. Busta.
Thank you, Busta. Thank you guys. Now I have to play nothing but Busta Rhymes this episode. Something I haven't done in forever.
Uh huh. Give me some more. God, I love Busta. Even
anyways.
That song with Janet Jackson, I enjoyed.
JK. What was it? What was it? Nod Your Head or Break Your Neck?
Yeah. No, Break Your Neck. Oh, yeah, that wasn't the Janet Jackson one.
No, it wasn't, but it was, The Janet Jackson one, I remember it had the video with like...
Yeah, with the liquid,
the liquid
thing,
shit. Yeah. Holy shit, I honestly can't remember that song.
Good. Gonna make your body wet, I think.
Yes, that's what it was, right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. On me and you.
I'm proud of myself.
On you and me.
I've forgotten those
what's
bad years.
What's gonna be the name of it? Oh, we live through our dark time, dude.
So hardcore, like quick draw, my crawl.
Yeah, I prefer, I mean, everyone will say this, but I prefer my era of rap than the current.
Oh, of course, everybody says that.
Because trap music sucks. Ooh. And the mumble thing, huh?
There is Joey Badass. There's Joey Badass, and there's a Tribe Called Quest. I was walking on the street
with my whoa. What? What are you talking? He just told you that words. He was walking on the street. I don't know what your problem is. Yeah, he's in Atlanta. I don't know what your problem is. Excuse me? And you're like, wait, do I have to slow down this track? What the hell? Do I have it speed? Like, this sucks.
Normalize sucks. Audio.
Yeah. Going to take the background down. Take vocals up. Yeah. So I can't hear what the fuck you people are talking about.
Crap music sucks.
All that hippity hop. Right. But you know what does suck?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yeah. There's a lot that sucks. Right. Week. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The 2016 film directed by Mark Waters, starring Kathy Bates, Tony Cox.
God, I love Kathy
and
Bates.
And Billy Bob Thornton.
And
if
I
you
love
haven't
Billy
figured
Bob.
Out it out yet, it's Bad Santa Part 2.
Who's Tony Cox? Is that. Okay. Sorry, what?
The hell are you looking at me so funny for?
Sorry, Santa. I had to go.
Oh, is that you? I thought it was me.
We got a job, Willie. I'm talking millions this time. I got an associate who's got this thing all lined up.
What's it been, 15 years?
Mom.
Well, you still hit like your daddy.
Eat me.
What, you don't trust your mother?
Yeah, I trust her about as far as I can throw you.
Damn it.
I trust you
about... I love the first Bad Santa. Like, I'm with you. I adore that movie a lot.
Fuck that, like, shit.
People who don't like it, I don't get angry with them because I understand that there's a lot of things in that movie to not like. I just happen to fall on the side of really liking. And when I saw that they made a part two, I went, this goes one or two ways. They either continue down the road and it's terrible, or they change it and it's terrible. But there's no way for them to make it good. And then one person that I respect their comedy acumen said, Bad Santa 2 is exactly what you want. Which is why I chose it. And
sorry, who is this person? I can punch him in the face?
You don't know them. It's okay. Some no-name comedian. No, it's some comedian that doesn't have a special. It's like, I hear him on other people's podcasts from time to time. And sat down and watched this movie and went, I will guarantee right now Andrew hates this movie. I'm picking this movie to watch on this podcast.
You dick.
I love this movie. Like, a lot. Kathy Bates is perfect.
I'll be right back.
All of this movie. Look, is the movie good? No. That is not. That has nothing to. But I really.
I've just turned on my headphones, so I can't.
Really, deeply enjoy this movie. Watching the two of them back to back, it just feels like they just allowed the movie to run on. There's like, there was an intermission, and then it's just the same awful people back again, and the fact that they cast the young boy again and he's equally as lovable even as a 21-year-old, like, pulling that off must have been so hard. Like, every part of this movie feels right to me. It's not war on everyone, but boy, I enjoy this. Like, there are specific things that I at the start, Billy Bob Thornton explains to the young man how to have sex and the process that he needs to go through. And I had to pause the movie. I was laughing so hard. And from that point on, I was just I was ready and enjoyed this movie from start to finish, knowing that I would come here and there'd be Venom. But I welcome it because you guys had to watch Bad Santa 2 because I forced it. So I win. I win either way.
You win either way.
God, I love this movie so much. So much.
Douglas, would you like to begin?
You know, I think that the fact that he likes this movie makes it even worse. Because I could almost bear Damien coming to me and saying, all right, Douglas, I know mm-hmm. this movie was horrible, but
right.
I really liked the first one for whatever reason, mm-hmm. and I was hoping to like this one, but I agree with you. It's the worst movie ever made.
Right.
Fuck you, Damien.
Yes.
For liking this movie.
Premeditated. Damien, saw this movie and went, I know what I'm
thinking. Damien, this movie is just so bad. There is nothing likable about this movie. And I don't mean that the characters aren't likable, because it has Bad and Santa in the title. I know they're not supposed to be likable. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with that. There is nothing that is enjoyable about the experience that occurs when the light goes from the television into my eyes and the sound from the speakers to my ears when it's put all together in the random order that this fucking movie does.
Why did I keep laughing then?
Oh, because Damien kept laughing
the entire time. No, I know that. I know. But you hated the first one.
I did.
Right.
I did hate
it. So it stands to reason.
It does stand to reason.
Super hate the second one.
And the sad thing is, I came in and I'm like, all right, let me at least try to like this movie because maybe something was wrong with me with the first one. Yeah. Andra and Damien adore it. There has to be something there. Mm-hmm. Let me just try. But this was one of those movies where I sat down in front of it and it just gave me no reason to care.
I laughed the entire time.
Andrew?
Even today at work, watching it for the third time, people just damn it, what is happening? So I love this movie.
You know, like, this doesn't make me hate it as bad as, for instance, Wiener.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I have some serious venom for that movie.
I mean, Wiener is hot garbage. So, yes. Andrew, you enjoyed the first.
I love Bad Santa.
Bad Santa. Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great movie.
Yes.
Right? I think this is a piece of shit.
All right.
And herein lies one of my biggest complaints. Not necessarily of this movie, but the what this movie is doing that a billion other movies have done repeatedly. Right? I've realized more and more I've come to appreciate the specialness, the uniqueness of one-and-done films.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Where they do something, and even let's use Bad Santa as a great example, because Bad Santa, on the face of it, isn't that special a movie, mm-hmm. right? It isn't one of those profound films like, let's call it The Master, where you watch it and you're just engrossed by it. It's just a really fun, crazy movie, and there's so many pieces of it which you can imagine, if put together in different ways, would have just turned out bland and boring and nonsense, but somehow the gods bequeathed it upon us in such a manner in which it is wonderful and beautiful. Now, when you come to it to the next time, worse how many years passed.
Right.
And it's so obvious that they're just rehashing the same story all over, adding Kathy Bates, that the movie just, it almost feels, it feels less special to me. It's one of those things where I was talking about the James Bond franchise with Douglas about it, and I think we've had this conversation a little bit about James Bond, where we've now figured out what an acceptable James Bond movie is. And if a James Bond movie hits that mark, we're fine. We're
And the mark is have James Bond in it, right?
Yeah. The mark is not Quantum of Solace.
Not Moonraker.
No, that's not fair. If you go back that far, then we have more things to add, and it's just a nightmare. We still love
not
them.
Not that another day.
They're bad.
Yeah, there are some bad ones. Even though I don't think I'd take them back for away for the
I
world.
I still love There's, them.
Yeah,
but I know.
But here,
kind of like this movie. I know. Like, don't get me wrong, you know, Douglas. And like I know this is just a rehash of the first one, but kind of like the Hobbit trilogy. To the Lord of the Rings. I know those movies aren't great. I'm not blind. I have eyes. And a little and enough sense to know those movies
are you sure?
Good. Here's the thing though, if you treat them as more Lord of the Rings, then it is easier to like them. All Bad Santa 2 is more Bad Santa. It's just these awful people
continuing to be awful. And I could do with another hour and a half of awful people being awful. And it was perfect.
I guess.
They're so awful.
I suppose it's like me and I know a lot of people will take this as heresy, or the implication that this may be as heresy, but me and the Before trilogy. So you could probably put just two pieces of shit on a stick and walk them around and call it Before Sunset Part 5. And I'd be like, yeah, I love this movie.
Yeah, I love the Before series.
And it'd just be more of the Before. Andro, apparently, has some diminishing returns problems with those movies.
Which one? Where did the diminishing returns start? Don't tell me that you don't like Part 3.
But I don't, like, I can't even... As much as I really do officially believe all of those movies are great, I couldn't tell you if it wasn't. There's just no... I have no objectivity on
it's
that.
It's just one long movie.
Yeah.
That's how I watch
them.
Yeah,
that's how I watch them. I will literally put them... Well, I used to have to put them in the player, but now, you know, you just queue them up and on the box and you press play, and I'll watch all three of them in one go.
At some point last year, that is literally what I did. I went, oh yeah, I need to watch it. I haven't seen this movie. And then just... Three
actually
movies,
we just got the new Blu-rays from Criterion. Yeah, so I'm definitely due for a rewatch.
Redo. Andre, I understand that you like the world didn't need Bad Santa 2. That is not an argument worth having. They should have looked at the first one and went, boy, we got lucky, let's pushing this in the corner, and we're not touching this ever again. But I really did enjoy Kathy Bates in this, because I've never seen her in anything even close to like, she's so awful, just all the, and there's no like, they just went, what's the most awful things human can say to each other? And then just opened that valve and just didn't turn it off until the movie ended.
Damien, do you watch American Horror Story?
No.
I think, I don't know if you'd liken her in that to her in this.
Okay.
But I feel like it might give you a feel of that.
I do like Kathy Bates a lot.
She didn't start with them.
Mm-hmm.
I think she came in maybe from the third season.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's called American Horror Story.
I know, but you'd be surprised at the highs that they hit, and how good it is. So every season is an anthology thing, so you don't need to watch season 1, 2, 3. But there are some clear standouts. Like, I'd say probably season 2 and season 3 are real good. Or wait, which one is season 3? Is that The Witches? Okay, fuck season 3 then. Season 2 is great.
Mm-hmm. And season 4?
Season 4. Which one is season 4?
I haven't gone past 3.
I think
because
season
3
is so
bad,
wait.
I'm stuck somewhere in there.
Season 3 isn't so great. Season 4, I think, is the funhouse or the carnival, which is alright. Season 5 is awesome. That's no like vampire, and it's a hotel thing.
Yeah.
And season 6 is actually pretty good, and she's in there. And I think that one, she really gets to be like, almost like funny and just evil in
just
a way,
mean,
and weird, and yeah, yeah. It's a kind of cool thing that they do, where it's like
the same cast, but they're playing different roles.
Well, yeah, they do that throughout the season, but in that season in particular, they're essentially pretending that it's like a reality show about some people who went to some scary house and, you know, it was haunted and bad things happen. And so they go through the show and then they go through the real thing and, you know, it actually happened because it's American Horror Story.
Right.
But, you know, I think it's probably the right kind of horror for you.
All right.
Yeah.
As soon as I finish watching Catastrophe.
Yeah, I need to get on that.
Good Lord.
Love that
like,
show.
Bad Santa 2 gives me the same feeling I get when I watch Catastrophe. These people are the worst people, and anything that happens to them deserves to happen
Speaking
to
of
them.
Which, have you tried Schitt's Creek?
Yes.
Is that...
I watched 2 episodes. I'm going to finish watching it, but...
it's awful.
The thing is, like... I have so many TV shows that I keep rewatching.
The show is bad.
And so when I'm finished with
Catastrophe and Legion and
when you're finished with Legion, Legion hasn't finished.
He's still watching the episodes. I still over. Re-watched it. Every week he has an hour more to catch up on.
That was me too. But yeah, I plus it's like it is April soon, and so it's like peak sports time of Formula One is back.
Yes, it is back.
Boys and Girls Championships is at the end of the month.
Champs is now. It's happening now. Yeah.
Saturday is the real day.
Though, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And then playoffs.
Apparently NBA they've broken records already, though.
Yeah, some guy broke a 800 meter record day one. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good.
Why would you do that, though? And I'm sure it was a heat. Like, come on.
Yeah, like, damn. He was just pacing and he was running by himself. And know how fast he
unless
can.
He's
like
so he, good that this is him jogging and then he's about to break it again
way. Yeah, it doesn't feel like he pushed himself super hard because there's no one pushing. He's just, this is the pace I need to run at, and he ran the pace and oh look, I broke the record. But yeah, like I am, this is my time. It's just before summer where everything goes away. Like the Premier League is ending. All football is ending, and basketball is ending. I said football. Formula One. I'm sorry, what's that?
Soccer.
I don't know what you're talking about. But yeah, you know, it's peak sports time. So when
baseball is starting.
I'm sorry, I said sports.
Starts in April.
No, I said sports. Shitty cricket.
Oh, I love that. Love that.
I hate cricket, so I can't only match it. But yeah, Bad Santa 2, you guys aren't going to derail me. I still like that movie. And I know you guys are right. Believe me, but I don't care. Because I love it too much.
Loving you is right.
That's loving you is wrong.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't want to be right.
I thought he doesn't want to be wrong.
Nope. Loving you is right. Then I don't want to be wrong. Right? I don't remember. I'm drunk. Leave me alone.
What were we talking about?
Something else. Not okay. Bad Santa 2.
I think I said I don't like that movie.
Yes. Okay. You're pretty firm. Trailers came out. Spider-Man. Yeah, Justice League. Some other madness.
Did you watch said trailers?
I'm sorry?
Did you watch said trailers?
No.
Okay, cool. Moving right along then.
No, I saw both of them, but without sound. Because I wasn't paying attention. Like, I just saw them on this TV. And I was like, oh, yeah. All right, those movies are coming over. I'll see them eventually.
I saw, because CinemaCon is going on right now. Mm-hmm. And people are posting all their news from
what
it.
What is CinemaCon?
It is a convention.
Right.
It happens in, I think, Las Vegas.
Cinema?
Uh-huh. Cinema.
In which... all of the distributors come to show the cinemas, not regular people,
right,
what they're planning to do for the next year. Mm-hmm. Right? There tends to be some tech conversations. It's not heavy, but some. Mm-hmm. They tend to
skip.
Right? They tend to preview a lot of movies. Like, I think they just showed the new Fast and Furious movie there, and people are talking about how much they like it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I saw, I still haven't gone to IMDb to check it. I can check it right now. I saw a picture with Disney posting up their schedule for the next 2 years. Like, not just Marvel, like everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it said Black Panther is this year?
How? When? Christmas?
Black Panther it's next Christmas. Year.
Ah.
I got confused. Mm-hmm. I'm like, isn't that movie like far away?
Yeah.
Ant-Man is next year?
In fairness,
Ant-Man is next
year? Ant-Man is next year.
In fairness, I thought Justice League was far away.
Yeah, me too. But it's like well. It's this like next weekend. Month or something. Yeah,
yo dog, we're ready. I saw like the Justice League. It just looks like the problem I had with the last one, where it's just too much CG all at once. There's a clip where it's clear that there's nothing real in the scene.
Actually, speaking of that, a new poster came out for Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, it's so funny. You look at the poster and I'm like, I don't think anything in this poster is actually there. It's actually real. Because you have Spider-Man like lying down in a blazer. And it kind of looks CG. It probably is. And then it's just a mock-up of like background.
Right.
And you're just like, you know that they never actually took a picture for that. Right. It's just cut and paste and put things together and Photoshop. And there's nothing wrong with that. I have no problem.
Photoshop on that template. Spider-Man template.
And actually, until I saw the latest trailer, I realized that they have to clearly do something with him. But I realized to myself, if you think about it, the guy playing Spider-Man probably has the least amount of work to do in terms of the whole
movie. Robert Downey Jr.
He literally says, hey, I'm going to put on a suit, and then puts his hands in front of his face
and does
puts
that.
Down, and then he's like, okay, the CG guys are going
and
to
Chris Hemsworth do all and stuff. Chris Evans got the short straw.
Yeah. Robert Downey Jr. got the longest straw. He's just like, and then from the, like, he just does this, and then he's just a face. It's just how just a camera in his face is just shaking his head like, oh, I'm hurt. All of it, like, all of Iron Man is just CG shenanigans.
But apparently Iron Man takes his suit back, so he has to do things in like regular clothes again.
I don't believe it.
Sounds so like the trailer said.
That's all lies.
Yeah.
Who's he fighting?
Birdman.
Birdman.
Sorry? Michael Keaton plays the Vulture.
Yeah,
they didn't actually just get the real Birdman. They could pay a little weight on Birdman. Birdman, baby, flying any car. I just need them to put in that clip somewhere, or just have him walk across a road. Lil Wayne saying no, or have him because he's a teenager and. They like things, ironically, they can just have him play juveniles, the black is hot. And it's
black is hot.
Done. I hate this movie's 10 out of 10.
I hate so much.
Yeah.
Just think, give us 10, 15 more years, we'll be older, have more expendable income, and have more power. To do dumb shit like this in real life. Right? If someone asks, if I am commissioning an ad for any company I work for and I get final say, no, that some stupid rap star is going to be that. Right? I am willing to tank my company's future on a dumb joke. It's just six people going, what the shit is up? Right? I just need to kill one. Just one person laughs so hard that they drop dead. Like, I know that I killed that person. Like, they saw this ad. I couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah, Horace and Pete. Louis C.K.'s show from last year. It's on Hulu now. I finally got to sit down and watch it.
Right.
And it is a fantastic show. I love it end to end. It's one of these shows where it's funny, but it's almost like a play in the way that it's put forward. It feels very much, well, let me not say it feels very much. It definitely is like a stage he's created, and he's just allowed these guys to go on with all of these wonderful scenes. And what I love about the show is how, very much like Louis, his FX show, it allows him to kind of switch between really crazy, funny, like, depressing things. So there's like one scene, I was actually looking to show you this scene where a guy walks into the bar, a really old guy, and starts telling a story about how he met his wife in the bar, this bar that he used to come and get pails of beer however long ago, and then the story culminates in him telling you that he just got out of jail because he murdered his wife in this bar because he was cheating on her with some other man. And like the way the scene goes, it very much like how Louis's stand up itself is, where it's not always just about the idea and the ridiculousness of the idea, but the way he walks you into the idea. Is something that kind of entranced me with this show. And it also allows him to switch completely into the intimate. There's at least two or three episodes in there where he just switches away from whatever you could consider normal that the show is, of just stories at the bar. So like, there's one episode where he's sitting down and talking to this woman for like the full hour. It's just that conversation. And it's one of these things where you're constantly figuring out more things as to what's going on, because it jumps you in the middle and you're kind of just figuring out. And it is... it's one of these things where you... he definitely wants to play with your emotions. And it's not just him being funny all the while. And I love this show. Right? And all of the supporting cast are great. Steve Buscemi plays his brother Pete. Alan Alda plays his uncle, mm-hmm. who's in the bar, and he basically is allowed to say the most racist things in the world.
Yeah.
Because he's old.
Yep.
Perks
of being old.
And being in a shitty bar where literally you don't care about your customers.
He's Uncle Pete.
Yeah. There's actually a point where someone discovers that they water down their alcohol for profit. Obvious. Like, it's an accountant coming to do an audit and being like, I see you buy X amount of beer and you sell X times 0.5, mm-hmm. 1.5. How does this happen?
Yes.
Is either you're this or you're, yeah, we're watering down everything.
Yeah.
Right? And then he's like, but isn't that unfair to your customers? He turns to the customers and goes, guys, just letting you know, we're watering down everything. Are you all right? You okay? Cool? it's one of those shows where, because it does almost everything in that regard, I love it more. Because it's not just this one thing. It's not just Louis, the TV show, where he, in the first season, where he has to just make the jokes right.
Right.
Right? It's down into the fourth season where mm-hmm. eventually at one point he says, guys, I just wrote a 6-episode story about me with this lady from another country.
Right.
And it's just an interesting story. I love the show. I love the way it's put together. I love the feel. I love everything.
Like the mouth feel.
Yeah, the mouth feel. The texture.
Great.
I think one of my favorite parts is the final episode.
Because it ends?
For the first half of the episode, it flashes back to when Louis C.K. and Steve Buscemi were children. And Louis C.K. then plays his father. Steve Buscemi plays Uncle Pete, younger, and it gives you no pretense. You just kind of see the facial hair change,
mm-hmm.
and it just kind of rolls with it. And it's just a fucked up, hilarious thing to watch. You talked about today, Damon, about enjoying bad people.
Yeah, they're the worst people. Douglas, you said that you also love this TV show.
I haven't really watched it. The thing for me about the show is that
it looks important.
I've heard a lot of people talk about it, right? And how important it is.
Also, you don't want me to watch the show. You want me to skip right past this one.
I've even actually heard Louis C.K. talk about this show, mm-hmm. and how he made it, and how like personal. Well, mm-hmm. personal might not be the best word, but you know how important it is to him. And I've watched maybe 3/4 of the first episode, and I can't help but thinking about the similarities between this and, for instance, a movie about a Haitian revolution by Chris Rock. You know, it just reminds me of something like that, where, you know, somebody's trying hard to do something and maybe it's not quite working. But I haven't really given it a chance, and I really do like Louis C.K., so I will eventually, but I can't tell you when it will happen.
Where your arms folded for the first 3/4 of the episode.
Yeah.
Right, because I'm assuming you saw Louis C.K. and you're like, all right, cool.
Make me laugh now.
And then as it continued, you're like, no.
And the funny thing is, it took me a long time to unfold my arms for Louis C.K., because the first time I was introduced to him, and Andrew loved this, but I didn't, was his HBO show. I'd never seen any of his stand-up before. I'd only seen, Life with Louis.
Mm-hmm. God, I love Lucky Louis.
And that show, I didn't like at all.
So much.
and so it took me a really long time to
warm up.
To even think about watching.
So the it was your FX initial show. John Mulaney.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
he had to make me trick him into watching the second half of that stand-up for him to actually agree. You know what? He's funny, John Mulaney. He has jokes.
Almost like I said that.
Was there but a problem with milking cows?
Boy, that bit is like, listen, get the milk for free. That's not the right analogy.
Deaf comedy jam, though.
Have to carry the cow to the other cows winning.
I love John Mulaney. Like I want to have find you seen his New TV in show.
No, yeah. The TV show isn't New good. Town, that New is the problem. Is his TV show is so bad. It's so bad. I was praying for it to be good, and it isn't like at all. But boy, his stand-up specials are perfect.
Yeah, I saw New in Town.
Have
it's
you
great.
Listened to? Have you watched any of Kyle Kinane's stand-up?
No. I've seen some of his. I don't think I like him too much.
You need to find Kyle Kinane.
Okay, sir.
Watch every single thing that he's ever done.
I will.
Because he's incredible. Make an attempt. There's this other guy called Ali Sadiq. He has a half hour on Comedy Central.
Sounds like he should be in a Tribe Called Quest.
And when you see him, he should be in a Tribe Called Quest. But he's so good. Like... The thing is, like, his peaks are so high. They're so high that everything, when he's not at peak, you can immediately tell. And you're like, this joke is funny, but I want you to go back there. But boy, when he hits it, it is some of the funniest things I've heard in a long time. He has a bit where he brings his daughter to the pool. And his daughter is talking crazy smack about this other girl. And they call his daughter the Black Seal. Right?
Seal, right.
No. Black Seal as in the seal.
Oh, seal.
Right. Mm-hmm. That because seals are supposedly quick in water, right? And he thought it was racist to be just like, wait. Come call him my baby Black Seal. They're like, no, it's called. Like, someone had to walk over to him and explain what a seal was. Like, all right, fine. And he was there cheering. But she was talking.
But why does she have to be the Black Seal?
Anyways, she was talking crazy smack and he was helping her. She's like, she went over to a girl that was like the fastest girl. She's like, listen, by the time you finish the race, I'll be out of the pool, dry. And he's walk past. You hear that? Dry! And by the end of the... Like, he's incredible. Oh, God. There are some people out there that are hope one day become big enough that everybody... They'll be household names. But I know, like, from past experience, that most of the people that I love, especially when they're just starting out, are... Starting out to me, because they probably were doing it years before. Most of them
I think
never
once,
heard
I
of
I think once they're on television, they're of
no,
a certain
Comedy
stage.
Central half hours don't count. Cause,
yeah, they do.
But no, they
it
don't.
It doesn't mean that they're anywhere near famous,
right.
But they're more famous than the billions of
people. You're right. So once I get like a half hour special, even on Comedy Central, like there's some of them I'm like, can't wait and like find some other older things. I'm like, this guy is going to be great, and then never hear from them again. But this Ali Sadiq guy and Kyle Kinane is bigger than Ali Sadiq. You need to find. He has a lot of specials and he's glorious.
There's one scene in Horace and Pete I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm. All right,
because I'm still talking about Horace and Pete. It's the morning after. I told you about one downstairs, about the morning after he has sex with this woman, and like the woman is like, all right, I'm out, I'm leaving, and he's like, no, stay, have some food, like least I can do.
I'm a decent
right person. And she sits down and she starts to have a conversation with him and starts to bring up the idea, I used to be a man, right? At which point he starts to get a little bit awkward. And starts to try and suss out the conversation to kind of figure out, is she fucking with me? Or is this And then it just keeps going. It's like a 15-minute long scene of that conversation, to which it ends with her going, now, at this point, you will never be able to know whether this is real or not. And this is why you don't have breakfast after.
And this is punishment. You should have breakfast after, though, babe. I disagree with all of that. Right? If you allow them to sleep over, at least, I mean, come on. Let's be civil. Not animals. Are we? Is that how we do it? I don't like this. I don't like this at all. I mean, it's Louis C.K. I'll watch it, but... I thought Douglas had seen more of the show when he was downstairs swatting the show out of the sky. This is like, I'm just like, I like this show. Right. And Douglas is like, no. A strong backhand. Just Federer-esque. Just...
This is what I'll give Douglas. And I knew from the get-go when I started watching this show, Douglas wouldn't like it. And you'll know it when you eventually try it, right? Mm-hmm. When you watch a show and you see like the first episode and you get like the feel for the tone that the show is going for, you'll know why Douglas didn't want to pretend.
Right.
Right? And it's not because the show isn't good or funny or... Mm-hmm. emotional or whatever, it's just the feel of how the show is.
Right,
it's
like
it immediately gives off a smell of like you're going to have emotions and feelings, and Douglas doesn't have any of those. So
no, it's not emotions. I'm a busy man. Feelings.
I'm a busy man. I don't have time. You guys think that this is some important piece of work, and you're ascribing gravitas to a TV show. Gravitas. I'm a busy man. I don't have time.
I actually was listening to this guy. So. You've seen ads. You've seen these videos on YouTube of people who do this thing going like X-Men as if it was done by Wes Anderson.
No,
the only one I saw
was the Star Wars one, and that was glorious.
I was watching a video of the guy who makes those. Mm-hmm. Right.
There's one guy who does that.
Well, he.
No, I know. But, sorry. Okay. What I should say is there's a guy that does more than one of those.
Yeah, he's done he has one which is Ant-Man as if Werner Herzog did it.
Oh, I thought you meant he just did everything as if Wes Anderson did it.
He also does a lot of Wes. But I get you,
it's just like a joke. Okay.
Yeah. Right. He also does a lot of ones as Wes Anderson. But yeah, he has a lot of videos. And he did a video recently I saw where he was answering the question that a lot of people ask filmmakers and he wanted to tackle, which is how do you start filmmaking? And one of the things that he talked about, other than start now and do whatever you can, was forget the word important. And it's not necessarily about fucking listen. You there, shut the fuck up and listen, because you're going to hear something you don't want to fucking hear. Right? Right. And what he was getting at wasn't the idea of things aren't important, but you as the creator shouldn't make important be the first word that comes up in the conversation. Mm-hmm. No, movies can be grand. They can be like...
It can be off import.
Right? but if you bring your movie to someone and you say, Douglas, this is an important piece of art that you must cradle... You must hold within your arms, and you must carry on to the next.
The act of killing is literally that.
Right. No. You're not allowed to fucking talk yet.
Yeah. All right, cool.
A whole of this podcast, I've tried to say something, and it's just been a shit show. Yeah. You're going to fucking listen now.
It's backhand.
Swipe. No, all of these things can be true. Now, herein lies where I think you have a real problem. Okay. Right. Right. No, a lot of these things, you're getting the word important from other people, not from the filmmaker who comes and says, look, I really needed to tell the story of how OJ killed everybody.
Yep.
Everyone needed to hear it.
Allegedly.
Right. You're hearing people who watch the movie, who watched it the same way we go and watch a lot of movies at TIFF when we go there, and we have a lot of things we don't hit at that point. We just know we're going to see the new This movie or Prevenge or whatever horseshit we're watching, and we're seeing it a lot of the times blind with no hype or anything. And then we walk out of it and go, that movie was so good, right? And we are the hype at that point to then go to the next... To then go to the next guy who goes, this movie is important because 12 Years a Slave, did this and that, as opposed to just watching the movie and being like, but I feel... And slavery is an easy catch for Douglas, so I'll take that out of the conversation before we continue. There are a lot of topics in movies that you just imagine people add the word important to. As opposed, even if the conversation started with them saying this topic is important, whether it's representation in Iron Fist or whatever, I'm picking a dumb thing intentionally.
Hey, representation is important.
But the truth of the matter is that you as a filmmaker and also you as a viewer should forget the word important. You should just take the movie at that point and then decide your feelings. Right? I'm done now. You can now speak.
So I agree with his argument and I agree with half of your argument because I think you took another half.
So it's like a chip shot.
Right? Yeah, it's like a chip shot. Exactly. So he's absolutely right. Don't try and make your movie important. Make your movie, put it out in the world and make people ascribe whatever they want to ascribe to it. Now when I watch a movie and I go into the movie and the movie is just like, this is what it is. Here you go. Love it or leave it. There are movies that I watch that I think are, I don't like to use the word important, but have import, right? that I really like. But if I go into the movie and I hear in the background,
You should see this because it's such an important topic right now.
Then that movie can go fuck itself, right?
It's movies. Can we tone it down?
Yeah,
they're stupid movies. Guys, movies are fake. Can we, like, we need to have that banner up before all movies. Yo dog. Movies are fake.
No. Gone Girl was real.
No, watch this stupid
somebody
show.
Got Gone Girl.
Right. It is. When did the world devolve so far that people spend this much time, right, debating the import of shitty of its movies?
Yeah, the amount of.
Can I just watch a movie in peace? Hey, all I need is like, don't like. That's all.
I know, right? The amount of time that has been spent.
That is it.
Just Iron Fist, which, by the way, is a shitty show.
It's so bad. I saw his stupid face and went,
I actually didn't mind it, right? I like it to the same degree that I probably like, say, The Arrow. Or, yeah.
So you just never want me to watch this?
You know,
not even as a joke,
it's a bad actor.
A bad script. Bad premise.
But there's punching, right?
And there's kung fu.
I'm fine with that. And you know what's funny?
The punching ain't that good.
If you say so, that's fine. But the funny thing is, right? So the argument that I really don't like, that a lot of people have been putting on this is, why did the main character have to be white, right? As opposed to, not necessarily white as opposed to anything else. Why is he white instead of Asian?
Yeah.
Which I think is just dumb. Why can't he just be anything? And to be fair, you know, as you said, we didn't grow up where, you feel like you need to be super sensitive because of what you've gone through and whatever.
You need some kind of representation.
But let's chill on
that. Yeah, it's a comic book.
But the argument that I feel has gotten less play, that the more I think about it, might actually, I think I might be able to understand where they're coming from, is the other side of things, where, so he's in this world where it's a kung foolery world and everybody's Asian.
Yes.
It's just like, I am Asian so that I can
be kung fu.
And that's kind of,
It's almost like these books were written in the 70s when it was okay to be blindly racist.
Right, yeah.
But hey, guess why no one should argue about representation in superhero things?
because there's no real superheroes, so none of this shit matters.
Let's not even get there, but I actually wonder why
no one can be a superhero. So we don't have to have this argument. There's no such thing as superheroes. It's fake. So it doesn't matter if there's no superhero that represents you. It shouldn't have any real bearing on your life because it's not a thing you can do. I can understand you want to see female presidents and black this or Asian whatever, so that they aren't always represented as thugs or whatever the stereotypes are. But you see, when you get to superheroes, I don't want to hear it, because that's not a real thing anyone can be. No one's a superhero. So you can't be misrepresented as a super, because there's none of them there. Tell me a real superhero. Who?
Obama.
Stupid conversation. So stupid. Fuck. There's a drought in Somalia. Can we talk about real shit? Huh?
All right, sure. What's happening in Somalia?
For 20 years, the whole world looked at Somalia and went, fuck that country. And now they're running out of water even faster. And now
I ask what's happening in Uganda at the same time?
It's a little better.
How about Thailand?
Not sure. Thailand, I mean, politically, it's weird.
I don't know what's happening now, but they've had like a few coups in the last few years.
Politically, it's because the military is big and has a lot of power. And the person who is running for president used to be the daughter of a person that was exiled. But she is definitely going to have her father come back if elected. And the military doesn't want to have any of it. And a large section of the population doesn't want any part of it. So it's... I know you don't care. You ask a question, I answer the question. But yeah, like, it's movies. Like, my thing with it is... And I understand that it might be because of how we view, like, movie news. And how we see, like, comments online on the conversation. But... it feels that people have forgotten. At some point, people forget that it's just... like, I understand you want to take some of the things in movies seriously. But it's movies. Like, it's the same thing with comic books.
No, I think representation is a valid
but
concern. Come on.
That's a thing that we can fix after. We don't have to fix that. There's other things that if we fix now... that part will fix itself later. But people seem to, like, it's so, like, when people were like, we're boycotting the Oscars, that is when I went, you people have lost your goddamn minds. What are you people doing? It's movies. Like, it's movies. Do you boycott music? No. No one gives a fuck. When did movies... go above all other types of entertainment, where people are like, movies aren't entertainment, they're important.
Yes, because movies became cinema.
Oh, fair enough. It's so weird. It's so weird. Even for, like, we do a movie podcast, like, and we, with the exception of Andrew veers off from time to time. But, like, we still treat most of the movies like all movies are either good or bad, but we all accept that most of them are dumb. And treat them as such. And review them as such. Like, they're just big, dumb movies. Even the ones that try to be important. Like, we've still find ways to joke about them because it's stupid movies. But there's so many people. It's the reason I, like, at some point I had to stop listening to Film Spotting. Like cut them off altogether. Because it felt like they forgot the thing, like, that people watch movies for entertainment. It's not like... unnecessary good. Right? It's not a human right watching movies. Like, it's just entertain, like, that's what it is. And people have just veered off, and I don't like it, but that is me becoming a grumpy old man, and I know that I'm not winning this argument anytime. But it does weird me out, cause but
yeah. Darian, say the words.
What?
Say it. Come on, get off my...
Yeah, there we go. My effing lawn, yeah.
Is it your lawn?
I mean, I'm the only one digging up the ground and planting the grass.
Okay, cool. All right, just making sure. So, you know what? That made me remember. Who was it? I don't think it's SZA. This song, mm-hmm. and it might even be on our top 50.
Andrew.
You remember the song, Everybody Want to, Nobody Want to Plant a Corn?
Yeah, Everybody Want to Read the Band.
And that's a great segue into our dancehall segment.
We did it.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
But okay, so I guess it's pineapple time. And Damien has already told me that he wants to take the lead on this one. But there are a couple of things I need to say.
Yes.
First of all, we're now at number 47 on the list of the top 50 dancehall reggae songs ever made.
We're not.
Shabba.
Shabba. Yeah, so we're at 47, Shabba with them. That means say you bow, lipstick bow, hooded, that means say you bow, them bow, them bow, them bow. Ragga number dap in a bunk at them dump. Tell all the bunk at them to dress back. Tell all the bunk at them to step back. Bow cat a girl with so cap man. You get bow, this make with a bow down. Bow cat, a money push them in down the front. A beer gunshot with you give bow cat. Them bow, them bow, them bow. Jump around, girl, if you know you no bow. Push up your hand if you know you don't bow. Wind up your line if you know you don't bow. You long up your mouth at the mama also.
Dembo?
DJ Dembo. Dembow.
Uh-huh.
And just, I mean, the hilarity.
Yeah, there's something you found out
in these articles or these blurbs about these songs is hilarious. And for instance, as you said, there's something I found out, and the weird thing about it is usually I'm laughing at these guys just being stupid, or at least in my mind, being kind of dumb. Where no, they're actually pointing out something, a fact, a factual item that is the funniest thing in the world to me. Apparently, the Dominican Republic, this song was so seminal that it spawned an entire genre known simply as Dembo.
Yep.
And I thought that was just goodness.
Shabba, iconic for all time.
There are, however, some misunderstandings that I know you're going to talk about that I find hilarious. Right. But even before we go into this, I just want to say that, I mean, this song came out at a time when you and I, we were at about the age where we probably shouldn't be listening to
this.
And I don't think I was listening to this one in particular, but when you have a guy like Shabba who, I mean, to say that this man was an international superstar, it just boggles the mind. But he was at the time. To have an international superstar have songs and not for it to somehow pervade your consciousness, even at that age, is almost impossible. So I kind of know this song, and of course, you know the more famous ones. Mm-hmm. But something that I will always remember whenever I think about Shabba is, you remember Mr. Loverman?
Yes.
Okay, Shabba. Everybody, exactly. And the Shabba.
Mr. Loverman.
And I remember at the time, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was at its height, it was big, and there was an episode where, of course, they made fun of him, and I feel like the whole episode, Will Smith was just walking around going, Shabba! And that's just stuck with me.
That
so every time America somebody, every time somebody says the word Shabba, I just want to shout back at them, Shabba!
And you should.
I should.
Right. You're born here. You have a right. this song is a mediocre song.
This song is one of those songs where clearly the guy like woke up the morning and said, you know what? I don't like this.
Right.
I have two words to say about it.
And I'm just going to repeat it. He walked into a studio and the engineer just going, all right, I'm going to step outside. And when I come back, be done, please. Like, as a song, like, listening to the song today, it's barely a song. There's almost nothing there.
But I thought it was his most danceable song.
Yeah, man. That's what they say. That's what Pitchfork say, and I don't want to listen to them anymore. Gregory Peck actually has a song on the Pokemon Rhythm. Gregory Peck, always creative, named his song Pokemon Jam because...
Sorry. There was a dancehall artist named Gregory Peck.
Yes.
Okay, I missed that one.
Yep. You don't live here, that's fine.
Did he make High Noon jokes?
Mm-hmm, all the time. All
right, cool.
Congratulations. he made Pokemon Jam because the name of the rhythm is the Pokemon rhythm, yeah. So he couldn't be bothered. But our friend Shabba knew better.
Shabba!
And Pitchfork wrote that the substance of the song is the wordplay of Shabba's homophobia. No, technically they're not wrong. It is 1990 in Jamaica. Everybody was homophobic. Here's the thing though. Nothing in this song speaks directly to homophobia. Shabba has a lot of issues with people in the song. And I'm going to list off some of them right now.
You have a list?
Yes, man on the table, them bow. So, can't be on the table. Don't know what man on the table means, even to this day. Such a dumb line.
I'm going to try.
Gala clean one. Rifle. You know, to them bow. Lipstick per head. Right? So, dancehall has had a problem with fellatio since the dawn of dancehall. And so most of the song, bowing in Jamaica essentially means fellatio. That is all it is. And so there's issues with that for whatever reason. I've never understood. I don't try to, even though I live here. It's so dumb, it doesn't make any sense. But Shabba moved on at some point, right? Sex in a bottom. You know where? Lick teeth in a bottom.
What?
Never heard that phrase. What is right? Right? Man will push them head on the frock.
Right? Well, that's actually right. Quite accurate.
But then right. But then he like I guess that was too straightforward, so then he's like mana eat fur. All right, Shabba.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right? Then he moved on. He's like, him do niam pig. So I guess porkitos also fall under the category. if you grudge your black brother, you bow. If you grudge your black sister. So it's just this song that is all over the map. And all of the things them that him do like, them bow. So it went from a definite meaning to meaning literally. And the song is nonsensical. And Pitchfork has chosen this song to say that Shabba's wordplay integrated some political satire in it. And Shabba can't do that because Shabba is the man that said famously, we don't play hockey. We heat hockey. That man doesn't have political satire. Two dunce. We gave that man a medal last year, by the way. Right? For his contributions to Jamaican society. Our Governor General pinned a medal onto that man. Never mind, they were trying to ban him from the radio when I was growing up. All of that is forgotten now. And that is always laughable. Just like this song and Pitchfork's reaction to this song. They're so wrong. Whoever wrote this article doesn't have the first... Like, Shabba, by... Like, when I think someone that would have had something political to say... In a song, Shabba is right behind Yellow Man. Like, way down at the bottom of the list. Nothing. There's just nothing, and there'll never be anything there. But thank you, Pitchfork, for. I've enjoyed my time reading and listening to this song because of Pitchfork. Last week we said the list was about average. Because it was being propped up by Dirty Wine.
this week, I think they're falling below average. They're at a failing grade right now. This list sucks. It really does. But we still have almost another year of this list to go through. So, we'll see if they get there at the end.
Yup.
Andrew?
Oh.
Gregory Peck?
Oh, hi.
Gregory Peck. Your favorite artist?
Yeah, my favorite mm-hmm. artist.
Did you search Gregory Peck and you saw him, right?
No, I went on IMDb to search for Gregory Peck. I don't need to know right. who this other Gregory Peck is.
Would you like to hear one of his songs?
No.
Why are you fighting your old culture?
Hmm? Because I've heard it. You know, it's one thing, you know, the child who looks at his plate and sees the vegetables and goes, you know, I don't eat green things. Right. I've never had that one, right. but I don't eat
right.
those things.
You're just like,
I've
no.
had those vegetables right. before.
And you're just like, no.
I'm good.
I want any of that. Ackee and saltfish, not for me. I'm a hamburger man for life. I want another culture's music. I'm abandoning my own wholesale.
Just jazz. Yep. Only jazz from now on.
Yep, I mean white people say it.
Yeah, I mean that La La Land got me there. Trust me. I didn't think jazz was much.
I just saw the picture of this like Anchorman and then the and square then, that's beside.
Yep, just Dembo.
Just Dembo.
Dembo. Dembo. Don't listen to this one though. You can listen to Welcome to Jamrock and Dirty Wine, the other two. No one needs to hear this one. It's old and far away. If you really want to party with me, let me see this what you got for me. Put all your hands with my eyes to see. Straight buck ballin' in the place to be. If you really want to party with me, and God we trust. Yo, it's a must that you heard of us, yo, we murder us. A lot of niggas is wondering and they curious. How me and my niggas do it is so mysterious. Furious, all of my niggas is serious. Shook niggas be walking around fearing us. Front nigga like you don't want to be hearing us. Gotta listen to how radio be playing us. 30 times I take shit to make you delirious. Damaging everything all up in your areas. Yo, it's funny how all the chickens be always serving us. So up in between the ears when they want to carry us. Good, then I hit them off with the alias. Various chickens, they want to marry us.